All right. So we're going to do something a bit different. So I just want to give an introduction. We in Tanya, we finished last week, Perakhes, the eighth chapter. That's actually the end of one section of Tanya. The whole the 53 chapters of Tanya are in like different sections, and this is one section, dealing with the understanding what the Nefesh HaLakis is, what the Nefesh HaBamis is, understanding Klippa, and so on and so forth. From Perak Tes, from the ninth Perak, starts a whole new section, which really deals with the struggle between the Nefesh HaLakis and Nefesh HaBamis, how they struggle with each other, and it goes into the whole definition there of a Tzaddik and a Rasha and a Beinoni, and so on. So we finished that section. So what I want to do, I thought since tomorrow night is Elul, I want to do two Mamorim, one Mamor this week and next week, maybe the third week also, on Elul, and then a Mamor on Rosh Hashanah. Still Hasidus, still same philosophy. Just I thought it would be nice to get us in the Elul mode. So what we're going to start today is a Mamor from the Alter Rebbe. There's also from the Alter Rebbe, by the way. It's a sefer called Likutei Torah. Likutei Torah is a very famous sefer from the Alter Rebbe, where he didn't actually write it. It was taken from many talks that he had given, and they were transcribed by different people, and the Tzemach Tzedek, his grandson, put it all together and in the sefer. Sometimes there's a bracket, and the brackets will be a note from the Tzemach Tzedek. So it includes teachings from the Tzemach Tzedek as well. Which is interesting, it's actually in two Sforim, on Bereshis and Shemois. It's called Torah Oyer, and in Vayikra Bamidbar Devarim and other things, it's the Kutei Torah. The reason the change of name had to do with the whole history, that after the Tzemach Tzedek printed the Torah Oyer, the government prohibited. It used to happen in those days a lot of times where the government would put restrictions on printing Jewish books. So they closed down. They said you can't print it anymore. Eventually, he was able to do it, but he had to change the name and also change the format a bit. So the Bereshis and Shemois, the Torah doesn't have notes in the Tzemach Tzedek, but the Torah does. This whole thing, it was a whole background story. He had a dream from the Alter Rebbe, a whole story. But this is what happened. This is the story. Now, in that, in Parshas Re'eh, which is last week's Parsha, which is always Shabbos Mevarchim Elul, he printed a few Mamorim on Elul. And there's one very famous one, Anila Doide V'Doide Li, which we're going to start now, right, on the right. We'll just do the part that's sort of highlighted or that I've marked because I'm going to do the whole thing. Now, this Mimer has the very, very, everyone knows the Moshel today, right? Today, in fact, what's interesting is it becomes so famous, this analogy of the king in the field, that everyone knows. Even people don't even know where it comes from. Like, the whole world talks about the king in the field in Elul. It's gone way beyond those people who learn Hasidus. But nevertheless, the source is in this Mimer. So everyone knows, right? That's not why I'm learning the Mimer. But why I'm learning the Mimer is because the Alter Rebbe, when he wrote, or when he said Mamorim, or when he wrote, this was checked by the Tzemach Tzedek and so on, the language was very exact. So the Moshel of the Alter Rebbe, of the king in the field, is said in a certain way, and it's got tremendous depth. So on the surface, it's we all know the Moshel. The king is in the field, it's very accessible. During Elul, Hashem is accessible. The Rebbe in particular, our Rebbe, gave many, many, many talks on this Moshel. And each time he'd explain different detail of the thing, and many, unbelievable. And it could make a safer in its own, just to go through the whole explanations of the Rebbe on this analogy of Melech Basadeh. So I'll share some of them with you because it's very important to understand the depth of the Moshel. And then the whole Mimer has very important concepts to do with the month of Elul, give us understanding of what Elul is according to Chassidus. Some of the Mimer is a bit challenging, like Tanya. That's okay, that's why we learn it. But that's fine. The later part more. Okay. So let's begin. The highlighted part, right on the right hand side there. Everyone's got the right side. It says Lamed Beis on the top, right? Okay. Says the Alter Rebbe, Anila doidi v'doidi li. So we have the famous pasuk that says, I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me. Rosh Tevis El, right? The first letter is the acrostic. In other words, the first letter of each, this four words is El. V'ha'inyin, what's the idea? Because Elul begins the concept of I unto my beloved, behind the Bechinis is Arusa Dilatata, which is the idea of awakening from below. Ad Rosh Hashanah v'makpurim to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sheheim b'chinas Hamshachas elokusa yizborach lemato v'b'chinas yizgalos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is really when Hashem responds and there's a revelation of godliness. Now what is he actually saying? He's saying the following. This is based on other stuff. First of all, it's interesting that he includes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in the Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li process. So it's interesting. On the one hand, the Pasuk Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, the first letters are Elul. However, if you look at the last letters, what are the last letters on Yud, 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 right? Four Yuds. Which has the gematria of 40. Which represent the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. Right? We know it's very special 40 days, right? In other words, the Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li actually includes not only Elul, but includes the Aseret Simei Tshuva as well. 10 days of Tshuva incorporating Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What's the idea? It is like this. We know one of the great, and this what I'm saying now is also going to be relevant to understand the moshel of the Melech Basodeh, the king in the field. Because we know that Chassidus always explains that one of the great areas of emphasis when it comes to Elul is this concept of Isarusa Delatata, the awakening from below. What does that mean? So in Chassidus we have this idea like this. The word, I'll just give you the terminology. Isarusa Delatata means awakening from below. From the word hisoirus, the latate in Aramaic means below. Isarusa de la'ela means an awakening from above, right? In our relationship with Hashem, sometimes, for example, when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, and therefore that's the Pesach concept, it's awakening from below. They didn't do anything, not much at least, anyways, right? Okay, Hashem gave them a couple of mitzvahs, so they should be quasi ready, so to speak, to go out.
Awakening from below.
From above, sorry. From above. Right. In Nisan, because there is another pasuk, by the way, this pasuk, Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, there's another pasuk in Shir HaShirim, this comes from Shir HaShirim, right? There's another pasuk which says, Doidi Li V'Ani Loi, my beloved is to me and I am to him. We start with Hashem. That's Nisan. Because Nisan, Hashem started the process, and Hashem starts the process. That's the flavor of Nisan, right? Now, that had to be the case, because the Yidden were not ready. There was no way they were going to deserve going out of Mitzrayim. They were so deeply sunken into the tumah of Mitzrayim where they just had to be schlepped out and be able to take a disproportionate quantum leap into being connected with Hashem, even though it didn't fit where they were up to at all. Right? And then they followed. So Hashem revealed himself and they followed. Right? Similarly, nowadays, Nisan has that flavor to it. We know the Seder is like that. We say the Seder, you did prepare, you didn't prepare, it doesn't matter. You jump into the Seder. The Seder has an unbelievable energy, can awaken people if they connect to it, and so on and so forth. Okay, then they had to work themselves, and then they worked themselves to do Sfiras Omer, a crash course in spiritual personal growth, and they got to get the Torah on Shavuos. Right? What happened? 40 days later, they served the Egel Azov. Right? Because at the end of the day, although the beginning of every process has to be Hashem has to show the way, right? And that's what happened in Nisan. Hashem had to show the way, Hashem had to bring them out of Mitzrayim. But it's not permanent. It's not yours. And for many, many reasons, when it all starts from Hashem's awakening and Hashem's inspiration, it doesn't stay. It's not permanent, right? There's a whole maimer of the Alter Rebbe of Adam Kiyakar, a famous maimer, also in the Likutei Torah, where he talks about what to do when you get an awakening. We all get awakening sometimes, what to do when you get an awakening, how to hold on to it. Okay, but the Yidden weren't ready for that yet. And eventually they didn't. They served Egel Azov. So one of the reasons they served Egel Azov, says the Gemara, which is always a problem, there was awakening from above and all that, but they did go through a sphere of Soimer. But one of the ideas was, because Hashem wanted to give room and he wanted to create the concept of tshuva. And that's where the calendar goes. It starts with Pesach, that process till Shavuos. Then we have the months of Tammuz and Av, which even today are months of spiritual down, Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks and everything like that. And then from the 15th of Abba, particularly in Elul, starts the reconnection. That's the way the calendar works, right? And that concept of reconnect, that concept of tshuva, Tshuva means that you reconnect. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva means you come back home. You make the hisor. You start the process. Right? So therefore, says the Alter Rebbe here, that's how Elul works. And Nila Doidi V'Doidi Li, actually it's all 40 days. But mostly the way it works is, Elul is a time that Anila Doidi, we make the awakening, we do the Cheshma Nefesh, we yearn to come back home, we etc. etc. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is when Hashem responds. Right? Yeah, but that was the only time that Rosh Hashanah was awakening from above, only. It started that way. Right?
Oh, and then that energy does not repeat itself every year?
It does, but only after the Sarusa Delatata, only after the Elul. In other words, when Hashem created the world, I mean, one of the big themes, maybe we'll learn about it when we learn a Maimon on Rosh Hashanah, but one of the big themes of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, is crowning Hashem as king, right? Why? Because it says that Hashem withdraws his malchus from the world on Yom Kippur. And it's up to us to ask him to be king. But he does. After we've gone through a whole Elul, and after we really come and we scream out to Hashem, please become our king, he responds, right? But that's the way the process works now. In the very beginning, Hashem also was crowned as a king on Rosh Hashanah, but without being begged to. You understand? Without. That's the only time. Ki chofetz chesed, it was the chesed of Hashem, he created the world. But then it's up to us each year to recrown him as king. That's why it follows this process, right? Okay. The obvious question we're going to deal with soon, think about this for a second. If it's Isarusa Delatata, Elul, awakening from below, how does it fit into the king in the field? You follow the question? You know, in other words, the whole thing, we say, Elul, you got to make the move, Hashem's going to do it for you, which means, Tammuz and Ob is Hashem hides himself. And that's what happened in the Midbar. Yidden messed up, so Hashem says, okay, I'm out of here for a while. In relationship, right? Comes Elul, and Moshe Rabbeinu begged, and he said, please, and then Hashem told him, and Kippur, he said, okay, I'll give you the second Luchas. Right? And now also, Elul is Azurus Delatata, but if it's Azurus Delatata, where's the... How does it fit into the mashal of the king in the field? On the contrary, the king in the field, he says, I'm right here. I'm reading the way.
Yeah, but he's only here a few weeks.
So you can say that with Pesach also. So we have to understand the depth of the mashal to understand how that works differently. How that works differently on Elul to the way it works in other times when Hashem reveals himself. Like Pesach, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Right? There is an unbelievable accessibility during Elul, but we have to understand how that works, because how's that not in contradiction, or how's that different to other times of revelation? But we'll get there. Okay, but now, for a moment, let's go do something else. So he explains how that works. So Elul is Isarusa Delatata, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Isarusa Delaila. And he explains for a few lines how that actually works. It's like this. Again, Ad Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the coming down of the godliness from Hashem. Lamata comes down to this world, b'chinas hisgalus, in a revealed way. Now, how does it come down? So he quotes a pasuk and he says, "Kamo shekosev." It says, "Smoyloi." That's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, I think, also. "Smoyloi tachas leroishi v'yiminu techapkeini." There's a pasuk which refers to the revelation of Hashem, but it first says about Hashem's left hand is under my head, and then his right hand embraces me. So he holds my head with his left hand, and then he hugs me with his right hand. What does that mean? So he's going to explain that the left hand is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the right hand is Sukkos. Right? Because actually the Sarusa de la'ela is not just Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's the foundation of it, but it's the whole of Tishrei. Okay? How so? So he says like this, Shem Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom HaKippurim Hu Bechinas Smoylei. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the left hand of Hashem. Why? What's left? Gvura. What's Gvura? Bechinas Yira. That's fear. We have love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. So Hashem's revelation on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is more his awe. It's more to get us to surrender. Right? The Fishu Oz Huzman His Galus Malchus Yisbarach. That's primarily the time of the revelation of the sovereignty of Hashem, the kingship of Hashem, which a king, the symbol of a king is, I'm king, you give yourself over to me, you're my subjects, You mine, serve me, subservience. That's more the idea of yira, the fear of Hashem, right? V'lochem korim loy ha-melech. That's why we call him the king. We, the whole time, the whole Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we say melech, melech, melech the whole time, right? Ki malchus cha malchus kol olamim, because the Hashem's kingship is in the whole world, and that's the time to create, recreate, reconnect, reignite this concept of malchus. Skip on the next line. He says, "Umizen nimshar gam lemato," and that affects us as well. Al klolus neshamas Yisrael, l'kleps aneshama. What does it have to evoke in us? L'kabel oil malchus shamayim aleim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the avodah, the service, the mission of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about accepting upon ourselves the discipline, the control, the subservience to Hashem. V'tiyei rosei al peneim kol Hashanah, to have this concept of yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. Many, there are many levels of fear of Hashem, but fear of Hashem means the bittul, basically, the giving over, the subservience to Hashem. Now, why does it need to happen on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur so strongly? So it makes a very interesting point. He says, ki yiras Hashem ve'avosoi, because the fear of Hashem and the love of Hashem, eina asuya v'natuya b'leva odom mikoich atzme. It's actually not entrenched, it's not by default instilled into our nature naturally. We don't naturally have yiras Hashem and avos Hashem, right? Kiim, what does it come from? Mikoich ha'ora nimshach olom milamayla. It comes from the spark, from the revelation that comes from above. But Ace Uzman his galusa at the time of its revelation. This is true, by the way, with every yontif. Every yontif we learn in Chassidus that every yontif is a revelation of a particular type of energy. And it's that revelation, that energy that gives us, I'll give you an example. Purim is a revelation of Simcha. But Simcha story also, but Purim specifically, right? And therefore, when we connect to the energy of Purim, we take away the koyach to have simcha the whole year. Pesach is the idea of freedom, chayrus, whatever that means. We talk about that during Pesach time, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. Now again, yiras Hashem doesn't mean petrified. That's not what the idea is, right? I know they're called days of awe and Yom Minorayim, but yeah, it's more serious. That's why the energy of Yom Kippur is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is more serious than it is on Sukkot, although they're both serious, more reserved, I should say. The Simcha is much more reserved, because it's more about bittul, it's more about self-negation, about I'm giving myself over to you. Right? That's the idea of Yiras Hashem. And the koyach, and we need that a whole year round. But the koyach to do that comes from the hisgalus, from the revelation that happens in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which only happens after the sarusa de latata on Elul. That's how it works. We make the awakening in Elul, Hashem responds to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we take it away for the whole year. Right? Right? Behind the Mechidus Rosh Hashanah, Mechidus Yira, that's what happens to Rosh Hashanah in the time of Yira. And that's the idea of V'doy Dili. That doesn't explain it here, but the same thing is with Sukkos. Because just like we need Yira Hashem, we need Avas Hashem. We need love of Hashem. Love Hashem is a different focus. We need both. Right? The advantage of love over fear is that love is more me. So Yiras Hashem is I negate myself. Now that is critical, because if I leave me in the picture, that's no good. I just limit myself. I mean, Yiras Hashem is I give myself over to Hashem, and I go on Hashem's agenda, not mine. On the other hand, Hashem wants us that we should serve Him with us. So therefore, that's why the foundation is Yira. Afterwards comes Ava, right? Because Ava means, okay, then we reintroduce our faculties, but it's in the context, on the foundation of Yira, that we then learn to love. Love is more of a me emotion, and we love Hashem with every part of us. So we serve Him with our brain, with our heart, with our talents, with our skills. Okay, when is the boost for that? Sukkos. Sukkos is Hashem's right hand. Sukkos, that's why it's time of open simcha, time of love, time of closeness, time of... The sukkah is the hug. The sukkah is the minute of chapkeni, the right hand of Hashem, hugging us, embracing us. That's what Sukkot is. Okay. Yeah, I actually never researched properly what the exact imagery means behind the head. What it's holding us up. So I'm not sure exactly why it's tachas l'roishi. I'm not sure what that means. I should actually look it up, because I've never always just gloss over. But yeah, I should actually. Yeah. Okay. Zerbuchinus adoidili. Okay. Now skip to it. You see where that left line is, that blue line. That's now we're going to learn the moshel. He says we now the fourth word of that line. Buchinus adoidili. Raki says, the only thing is, you've first got to awaken Esa'avavayiru, he first got to awaken this love and fear. Al yidei isarusid l'latata, through an awakening from above. Shehi be'elu. It's Elu. Okay. Now what's Elu? He says. V'inei noidat known. Shebe'elul huzman hisgalus yud gimul midas harachem. We know that in Elul there's a particular closeness from Hashem. That on Elul there's a revelation of the 13 midos harachemim, the 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy. Now that is always known as a very strong revelation. In fact, it's the highest revelation of Hashem. It comes from a level of atik, as it says in Chassidus. It's what Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu as the key component to doing tshuva in general, right? It's Hashem's compassion. What does it mean, Hashem's compassion? It's in 13 attributes, okay? 13 also has the gematria of Echad, the oneness of Hashem, and so on. It's higher than logic, it's higher than rationale. It represents the intrinsic connection between Hashem and us. It represents that Hashem is so deeply connected to us that He's ready to forego even things when we mess up. Right? That's why in Yom Kippur we say the 30 attributes of mercy all the time. In Slichus we say it because that's the key to tshuva. The idea of rachamim. You have Hashem's love, Hashem's fear, but there's a certain system to the world. That's where Hashem interacts with us in a more logical way. But when we need to do tshuva, Hashem reveals a deeper connection to us, which is the Yugil Midas Rachamim, these 13 attributes of mercy, which gives us the ability to connect on a deeper level where we can repair and we can start again. In other words, we can repair and rebuild, so to speak, right? From that deep connection to Yugil Midas Rachamim. So when Hashem reveals us 13 Yugil Midas Rachamim, it's a very essential connection, it's a very deep connection. Okay. And that's revealed in Elo. He says, Olahovins, we need to understand that. If that's the case, there's such a special revelation during Elul. Lomahem Yumoisachoil. Why are they weekdays? Ve'inam Yontif, they're not a Yontif. Kamoi, why is he saying that? Kamoi Shabbosis for Yomtif. Like on a regular Shabbos or a regular Yontif in particular, Shabbahem is Galus Alakus. Whenever we have a day, there's a special revelation of godliness, right? Pchinas Aoras Alakusa is Barach. There's a Yontif for a Shabbos. That's how it works, actually, right? Works is when there's a special revelation of the king, you have to detach from the mundane on a very simple level. That's why you can't do work. You can't do regular stuff. Ubifrat, and especially, be'eis uzman yud gimel midas, especially when there's a revelation of the 13 attributes of mercy, which is an unbelievable revelation. Shehem ha'ore sol yoynus mo'ay, they're very supernal revelations. We say every day, really, according to Nusach, but it's a different type of relation, not the same intensity. On fast days, because a fast is also, there's a certain detachment. There's like you don't eat, okay, it's not a yontif. But we try to ignite, we try to reach out to, we evoke the Yugim Vidas Rachmim. But it's not true to say that on the fast days there's a full-blown revelation of Yugim Vidas Rachmim, right? When are they fully blown? When is an example of this? When we completely detach from the world. Behem Mizgalim Yom HaKippurim. Taka, on Yom Kippur, that's when there's this amazing revelation of Yugim Vidas Rachmim. What do we do on Yom Kippur? We have a Yontif and a fast day together. Complete detachment from the physical, right? Ubevadai, and therefore certainly, he says, Yesh Hefresh Gadol, there's a big distinction between Yom Kippurim and Elul. There's a big difference between Yom Kippur and Elul. So what's going on here? Elul is just regular days. We talk about that as special days. Days you have to make a cheshbon, you have to do tshuva and so on, but why is it just a regular day? Okay, hold on a second. Alright? That's the question. Now, incidentally, most people don't know this, but the analogy he's about to give by the king in the field is an answer to this question. Which he doesn't explicitly explain how it's an answer to the question. The Rebbe talks about it in a number of places, and I'll share with you what that is and go into the depth of the Moshel. Probably do some today, some next week, whatever. Let's have a look. Okay. So he says, last line. Achina Yuva, now we're going to the top of the other page, top of the other column. It'll be understood, Alpi Moshel Lemelech, according to a Moshel of a king. Now, listen to the words carefully. Shekoydem boyo le'ir, that before a king comes into the city, he's traveling and he comes into the city, before he goes to the city, which is his place of living, Yoitzin and Sheir, the people of the city go out, Likrosi, to meet him. Mekabelin ponov basode, and they welcome him in the field. And at that point, Rashoin, they're allowed to call Misharoitzu, whoever wants to, Lotzeis, to go out, Lahakbil ponov, to welcome him. And he responds, Vumekabel eskulam b'sever ponim yofes. And he welcomes everyone with a nice face. Umare ponim soichakos lekulam, and he shows a smiling face to every single person. Velechte ha'iro, when he goes into the city, harem hoichim achrov, they go after him. They go with him. V'achakach, but afterwards, bevoya leheichel malchuse, when he comes to his palace, ein nichnosim ki'im birushus, there you can only go in permission. And even then, v'afgam zois ha'muvchorim shabob, only special people who have protection, v'chidei zgula, people have yichas, right? You've got to know the right people, you've got to be able to get in, you've got to be deserving, you've got to have security clearance, who knows what, right? Okay. So basically he says, that's what happens in Elul. That's what happens now. Hashem is in the field. Right? Hashem is in the field. And that you can approach him, he'll respond, he'll smile and that goes. And that is the revelation of Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim in Elul. So in Elul he's in the field. Yom Kippur is in the palace. Yeah, let's understand that. I'm just thinking how to explain this, to be clear. It's a very deep concept that goes in the also like this. What I'm going to share with you is like this. This is something the Rebbe explains, and we're able to get the whole thing there. On the one hand, actually, so we have to understand this concept, and then I'm explaining to you why, then, it doesn't contradict that Elul is a Rusa de la Tata, as opposed to Ereshani Yom Kippur. Okay? So the Rebbe explains that on one hand, the revelation of Elul is actually stronger than Yom Kippur. On the other hand, it isn't. And let's understand the depth of Elul. So we have a concept in Chassidus called Etzem and Gilui. I think I've explained it once before, but let's just explain it again. Etzem and Gilui. The essence of something and the revelation of something, the manifestation of something. So, for example, everything has this, by the way. For example, you have a table. What's the essence of a table? That it's a table, right? The fact that a table is white with a black ribbon around it, is that the essence of a table? No. That's how this table expresses itself, right? The fact that it's got legs you can fold up, that's this table. That's the way the table expresses itself. A different table expresses itself differently. Okay. When we see something, an apple is the same thing. What's the essence of an apple? That is an apple, right? The freshness of the apple, the color of the apple, the taste of the apple, the leaves on the apple, whatever. That's all gilui. That's all revelation. That's the expression of the apple. Okay. The truth is that when you go and buy something, when you go an apple. Okay, so your intention is to buy an apple. What do you look for, really? What are you concentrating on normally? The gilui, right? The revelation part, right? You're looking for the freshness, you're looking for the color you want. Okay, obviously, back in your mind, you're looking for an apple. But your relationship with a thing normally is... Let me give you an analogy. Let's say you go into a room. Two scenarios. You go into a room and there's the most magnificent, beautiful table there. It's hand carved, it's got the most expensive wood, it's the color's unbelievable. You walk in at just a majestic table, right? One scenario. The other scenario is you walk into a room and there's a very simple table there. Nothing, it's just a board and four legs, that's it, right? What's the difference between how you walk in? What's the difference in what you notice? and what you connect to. So when you walk into the room where there's no frills, a no frill table, you much more connect. What are you connecting to? The artwork? No. What do you see? You see a table. You're much closer to the essence of the thing then. In other words, the absence of revelation, the absence of giluyim, makes you closer to the etzem, makes you closer to the essence of the thing. Follow? You walk into a room and there's like an incredibly beautifully artistic, majestic table. What grabs your attention? The majesty of it.
The distraction. Yes.
It's a distraction, correct. But it's also beautiful.
Yeah.
It's more expressed. Right? It's more expressed. More noticeable. You can't miss it. You walk into the room, there's a beautiful table that you want, no one will miss it.
That's Yom
Kippur. No, we'll see in a second. Hold it. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the beautiful table is Yom Kippur. Yeah. That's great, but let's just go slowly. Yom Kippur is actually a combination at the end, but I'll. Relax. But you walk at the table and there's a shvacha table in the corner over there. If you notice it, you're noticing a table. You're much more closer to the essence of the table than you would be. Otherwise, you're not distracted, but you could even not notice it. It's not revealed, it's not expressed. Okay. The king is the same. Let's not even a physical king for a second, right? You walk into a palace, there's giluim. There's guards, there's a retinue, there's artwork on the table. It's a royal palace. It's beautiful, right? You walk into that palace, you're taken. It's breathtaking. You're taken by the majesty of it, right? When you meet the king in the field, there's no man. The whole point of the mashal is the king, he strolls. So he's very close. Very close. In fact, when you notice him, you're closer to the king himself. But he's not so expressed. You're standing and talking to the king, otherwise you are closer to the etzem of the king, but you're not as impacted as you were if you spoke to him in his palace. You follow?
Yeah.
In the palace, when you get to talk to the king, you're like, whew, I'm in the palace talking to the king. You fear, you're much more fearful, you're much more scared, you're much more impressed, you're much more taken, right? But actually, you're much more taken, you're much more impressed, but you're actually more distant from the king himself. Right? Whereas, in the field, you're actually closer to the king. He's the essence of a king. You're closer to the actual king himself, but you're not so, there's no giluyim, so you're not so impacted. Follow? I'll give you another mashal that Chassidus says also, when it talks about the greatness of the two different ways of serving Hashem, like the difference between, let's say, a great person or a simple Jew. So it gives like the thing, right? So take a palace where there's two people coming to see the king. The one is the minister of finance, who's a very brilliant man. He got the job because of his brilliance and his acumen and everything like that. And every week he comes into the king for an audience and discuss, in a very deep, intelligent way, the finances of the country, right? The king is above them all. I'm talking about a normal king, right? Not a fool, but a king who's taka king because he's a real leader. So but he can only relate to certain people. Otherwise, he can't discuss finance with the janitor. He's got to discuss finance with a person who's taka smart. And these great minds, that the minister appreciates the brilliance of the king. The king can talk to the minister because he understands it, and it's wonderful, right? Then you have the janitor who comes in every day to clear the rubbish in the king's office. Simple guy, very simple person, didn't finish school, nothing, right? Who's closer to the king? The janitor. Janitor doesn't understand about the brilliance of the king. He knows it's the king's rubbish. The king himself, that's his rubbish. I need to clear it out. The minister, when he comes in, yeah, on the one hand, there's a much more permeated relationship. But actually, what is he relating to? He's writing to the mind of the king, the seichel of the king, which within the king itself is also gilui. I talked before about the majesty around him. That's one level of gilui. But the mind of the king is also gilui. It's not etzem. Etzem of the king is that he's a king. He must have a brilliant mind. That's one of the ways he expresses himself. He might also have brilliant compassion. Another way he expresses himself. Leadership, whatever the case. But in essence, he's a king. He rules the country. No, so what do you want to be when you serve Hashem? You want to be a janitor or a minister? The answer is, at the end of the day, we've got to be both. But actually, we've got to start as a janitor. In fact, this is how we do every single day. This comes back to the whole answering of why Edel is not a yontif. When you go to the palace, and there's such gilui there, to go in overalls doesn't fit. Overalls, field clothes, work clothes. You can't arrive in the palace in jeans. It doesn't work. It doesn't. It's a disrespect. To what? Actually, it's disrespect to the gilui. To the whole setting. It's just disrespect. The king is so expressed. Everything about the environment is king. It's majestic. And you walk in with your field clothes. Right? That's every Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Every Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, there's a gilui of Hashem. An amazing gilui of Hashem. Right? So you got to come in like a mensch. First, it depends who you are. Are you intelligent enough to come in? Have you been cleared? Are you presentable? Are you clever? Are you a yichus? Right. So Shabbos comes and there's a gilui of Hashem. So we got to play the part. We got to wash up before Shabbos. We got to detach from doing melacha. We can't do mundane stuff on Shabbos in the presence of such majesty. You got to dress properly. As we know, the Sfarim say, dress properly is actually for us more than anything else. Right? Because we're in the presence of Kedusha. You can't walk in with the jeans. Right? So you got to get dressed properly. Elul, you don't connect to the Gilui of Hashem. Elul, you connect to the Etzem of Hashem. What happens in Elul is, on one hand, it's like the janitor, and you're closer to the king. You can ask me whatever you want. Because the king goes into the field without any giluim. It's not there. There's no majesty there. He's just walking around. So when you go up to him, you talk to him. Who are you talking to? The king himself. Less impactful because you're not in, you don't, there's not that presence there. There's not that feeling there of majesty. But it's the king himself. It's an amazing connection. Right? Yeah? But it's not a contradiction to being in work clothes. That's why it's weekday. That's the answer to the question. Because it's a deeper connection on one level, but there's no gilui. Because there's no gilui, he doesn't mind. He himself doesn't mind. It's when he reveals himself and he creates an aura of majesty. And there's so much giluim, to rock up in work clothes is disrespectful. But he's just strolling. He's strolling, so you're strolling. He's coming to you. He doesn't mind. You're coming. He's coming to you in the field. You have a spade in your hand. You have a pitchfork in your hand. Doesn't matter. He's there. Talk to him. Deep connection, but missing the giluim. Yeah, that's what the Rebbe explained to us. Now let's take this further to understand how this whole thing works. By the way, this happens every day to us. You know, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. We wake up in the morning and say Modeh Ani. Right? It's a tefillah. It's a prayer. It's a prayer of thanks. Famous question is, how can you say it? How can you say it? Because you haven't washed your hands yet. You haven't even washed Nagavasi yet. You haven't gone to the bathroom yet. You haven't got dressed properly yet. I mean, this is a time to daven. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? There's not a problem because it doesn't have the name of Hashem. That's what Moed Ani, the sentence of Hashem doesn't have the name. The sentence of Moed Ani doesn't have the name of Hashem. That's the halachic reason. Chassidus says, takes it much, much deeper. It says, what does it mean doesn't have the name of Hashem? Like this. The name of Hashem is Gilui. right? Gilui. It's every name of Hashem is a manifestation of Hashem. Kabbalah explains what Yud Kei Vav Kei represents. This is Chesed. This is Gvura, right? Okay. Name Hashem is a manifestation. It's Gilui. For Gilui, you got to be presentable. You can't say Hashem's name in bed, right? You got to get up. You have to wash your negavasa first. Wash your hands. Rinse your mouth. Relieve yourself. Get dressed like a man. And then you're done, right? What's Moedani? Says Chassidus, Moedani is a deeper connection with Hashem. It's Etzer. That's why it doesn't have a name of Hashem. It's higher than name. It's like when Hashem gave that Seres Adibris, he started with the word Anoichi. Without a name. Hashem Elokecha comes later, but Anoichi, I am who I am. The essence of Hashem. Above name, above description, above Gilui, I'm Hashem. Chassidus says, when you wake up in the morning, the essence of a Yid connects with the essence of Hashem. And that you can be tomei, you can be for the bathroom, you cannot wash your hands, you can have the spirit of impurity in your hand. Doesn't matter what you are. Because those things are only relevant in the world of Gilui. The world of essence is not relevant. The essence of the Yid is always connected with the essence of Hashem, no matter what is happening. Within your workforce, within your workplace, it doesn't make a difference. So the Moed Ani is not just permission to say a prayer because Hashem's name is not there. It's to say a prayer which is higher than Hashem's name. So the question is, and this is what I want to bring out also in this moshul, the same thing. The question is, so why do we have to get up and gesnegavas and daven with Hashem's name? Why don't we just keep the Moedani as the daily prayer and finished? Deeper connection. The answer is that Hashem wants Gili also. Hashem wants that our brain should connect with the wisdom of Hashem. He wants our kindness should connect to the kindness of Hashem. He wants the impact. That's what Hashem wants. Right? Because there's a fundamental concept in Chassidus that Hashem created the world to make a dira b'tachtonim, a dwelling place here. What does it mean, dwelling place here? Means that Hashem's essence should come to this world, but Hashem's essence should also be revealed in the world. It has to be revealed. That we should feel Hashem's presence everywhere. We should feel every part of who we are, and we should feel every part of the world. So that's why traveling from the, taking Hashem's essence and then revealing it in Chesed and in Gvura and in Tiferes, which correspond to the names of Hashem, is part of the mission. But it starts off with something that's even deeper than that. You follow?
When he's in the field, we have to initiate the conversation.
Now we can understand what God is. Now we can understand why it's not a contradiction. So what's it we're saying before I get there? Same thing with Elul. Elul is a king in the field, Etzem. Unbelievable connection. What's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Because it's part of the mashal. But after he goes to the palace, only big machas can get in. What's that representing? That's us on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Elul, we speak to him and we get the power, we do tshuva and we get shaped up, right? So that when he goes into the palace, we can be a big mach and go into the palace with him. Comes Elul after a whole year of, you know, mess ups we had and you know, good things and not such good things. We can talk to him in the field. On the one hand it's greater, on the other hand we're missing the Gilui. And Hashem wants the Gilui. But for Gilui, that you have to go to his palace. And to go to his palace, you have to be a big macher. Because you've got to be dressed properly and act properly and behave properly. So you work through the Elul to become the big macher. And then you go into his palace on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And in Yom Kippur, it's a very, very strong revelation. That's why you give him the Sarachmim is revealed amazingly on Yom Kippur. Right? And you connect amazing, but that's why you've got to detach from the world completely. So we have that little formula every day. We say Moed Ani, but then we get the day started. We can dress, we fix ourselves up, and then we can dunk, right? Same thing. Now, one of the problems with Hashem being in the field, is that the Etzem is there, but there's no Gilui. The fact that there's no Gilui makes him almost not noticeable. So how do you connect to him? So you have to make a move. The king is accessible, but he's almost unnoticeable. He's accessible in the most amazing way. Etzem, you can connect to the Etzem of the king. But he's almost unnoticeable. That's why it doesn't contradict at all the concept of Isarusa Delatata. Elul is you have to make a move. By Pesach, when Hashem revealed Himself and it all came from Him, it wasn't. It was revealing. It was a gilui. It was a revelation of Hashem's essence. It was different. The impact was unbelievable. Yeah. So Hashem said, "Listen, you guys are not going to be able to do this yourself. I'm just going to reveal Myself. Wow, reveal Myself with these whole majesties." So obviously, everyone just. The problem was, it was an impact that came from above, and therefore it messed up afterwards. Okay. Elul Hashem is not revealed. He's accessible. He's not revealed. And therefore, you have to make the move. You have to go talk to Him. Now, that's good, but there's still one thing needs to be explained that will give the... So I'll get these two things in, because it's beautiful how it connects to the mashal. It's so amazing. This mashal is so deep. Okay, so that's good. So it doesn't mess up the fact that we need Isurus of the Ratata, right? But still begs the question, so why do it all together? Why don't you just say, I'm not coming anywhere. Guys, just make a move. Elul, you fix it up from beginning to end. So why does he come to the field? Why? If it's true that in the field he's not so noticeable, and therefore doesn't mess up the fact that that Elul is all about us making the move, right? But still, why does he have to do it all together? What does he need it for? Why don't we just make Elul complete Isarusa Delatata? Where he's not accessible or revealed or anything, it's just you need to make a move. You need to start working yourself. You're in the field, he's in his palace, so start working on yourself. Start. No, but the answer is like this. If you go back to the mashal, and also something he says later, but I'm going to make it all in one. There's also another very problematic thing here. It says when the king comes, who goes out to meet him in the field? The Alter Rebbe is very exact with these words. Anshei Ha'ir, the people of the city. Yeah, exactly, right? It says people of the city. Right? So that's weird. Why don't we say people of the field go to meet? Right? So if you take what the Alter Rebbe says here and the Alter Rebbe says later, this is one way of explaining it. There's other ways that Rebbe says, but this is one way. I'm going to explain to you one way that works. And it's such a beautiful formula. It works like this. There's three places. There's the city. That's where the king lives, the capital city. There's the field. And there's the desert. Midbar. What's the symbolism of those two things? The city is where the king lives and is revealed. That's the king. It's the king's city. Right? It's the Buckingham Palace of the world, right? What's the field? Who is it? It's okay. And only special people live in the city or part of the palace, let's say, right? Then there's a lot of people that spend their time in the field. What's field? Mundane stuff. Mundane. Nothing wrong, nothing. Just mutual stuff. Physical stuff, right? What's a desert? A desert is a place of complete emptiness and negativity. A desert is the person... But not only isn't he in the city, he's not even in the field. Right? He's in the desert. He's in a bad place. He's in a place of complete emptiness. He's distant from the king completely. When a yid makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh in Elul, right? Again, this is like, I'm giving you the terminology of Chassidus, like, maybe it won't come out so positive, but Tshuva is a very positive thing because Hashem's taking us back. It's amazing. However, if you make a cheshbon in Elul, an honest cheshbon, when we think about the year gone by, like we said the other day, on Thursday, we realize we've created a distance between Hashem. In fact, if we're really honest, as he can explain in the next chapter, we actually figure out where are we? We're in the desert. Maybe. If we're honest with ourselves. We're in the desert. The problem is the king doesn't come to the desert. Because the desert is a place of complete emptiness. Desert, it says in the Torah, a desert is a place asher lo yoshav adam sham. No one lives there. The Adam doesn't live there. And in Chassidus means the Adam is at Adam Ha'elyon, the supernal man doesn't live in the desert. It's a place which Hashem is uninvited, so to speak. Right? And a desert is a place where a person gets very stuck. A desert is a place We're a little bit like when the Yidmo Mitzrayim, that actually it's even hard to kickstart in the Surah Stilatata. You're stuck. How do we get there? So when the Yidmo Mitzrayim, there was no other way only to do a full-blown Isarus Dela'ela. That's not going to happen now. The whole point is Isarus Dela'ela. But we're in the desert. Where do we start from? So what Hashem does, and the Friedrich Rebbe explains this also, that what Hashem does is, He gives us a kickstart. He says, I'm not going to do it for you, but I'm going to kickstart you. How does He kickstart you? He comes to the field. He comes to the field and says, I'm next door. I'm next door and I'm accessible. I'm accessible in a very deep way. The Etzem, you can talk to the king face to face. I don't worry if you've done Shiva yet, if you're not dressed yet, if you're not, I'll take you the way you are, but not in the field, but not in the desert. So it's full-blown Yisroel Zlatata. You have to make a move. The question is, and I make a move, I don't have to get to the palace. I don't have to be so dressed up like the palace. Just a little bit of a move, out of the midboard a little bit, just to let go a little bit of the bad, just a little bit, make a move. And Hashem says, come talk to me. I know you're not ready yet, you're still in your work clothes, you still feel, you're very physical, you're very material. It's fine, not a problem. But you got to put yourself in a place where at least there's potential, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so come to the field. It's right next door. I'm here and I'm accessible. But you've got to make a move. It's Rus Latata. Question is, a person asks himself a question. I'm in the Midbar. I understand the king's very accessible, but what gives me the koyach to exit the Midbar and the king come even to the field? The answer is, in the Alter Rebbe's one, two words, and I explain the Moshel. He says, I'm in the Midbar, but says the Alter Rebbe, who goes to the field? People in the city, but all I'm going to say, I'm in the Midbar. The answer is, the Rebbe explains, that a Yid realizes when it comes Elul, that my essence of my neshama is a field person. A Yid is always, is a city person, sorry. Really, we're Anshe Ha'ir. So it works like this. Listen carefully. A Yid, not in a revealed way. In a revealed way, we've messed up, right? What's my real identity? Always. A Yid's real identity is never a field person and never a desert person, not even a field person. My essence, my central identity is always a city person. That's who I really am. But consciously, I landed up in the desert. You understand? What Hashem is prepared to do is make himself very accessible and say, I'll talk to you not when you're ready for the city. I'll talk to you when you're consciously ready for the field. Very accessible, but you've got to make a move. I think about myself, how can I make a move? But I'm a desert person. The answer is, you are consciously, but you're not really a desert person. In fact, really who you are is a city person.
With revelation, who's able to reveal
that? You're not ready to do it yet, because that's
but
only...
Yeah,
city person is close to the king. Is a big yach. He's a big yichus guy. He's a guy that can. He's the minister. He can run around the king no problem, because he's on all levels. He's fantastic. And every yid has that potential. Every yid, in essence, is a city person. His real identity is a city person, where he's connected to Hashem in a revealed way. Right. So comes Elul, and I make a cheshbon, and I say to myself, Oy gewalt, I'm in the midbar. Hashem says, I'm right there in the desert. I say to myself, okay, this is the conversation, right? I say to myself, yeah, but I'm shkoyach for being in the Sadr, but I'm a Midbar guy. Hashem says, no, you're not. You're consciously a Midbar person. If you were really a Midbar person, there was no hope for you. Midbar people have to stay in the Midbar. But you're not really a Midbar person. You're behaviorally and consciously a Midbar person. You want to know who you really are? Who you really are is a city person. And in fact, that's where you're headed eventually on Yom Kippur. That's where you're going to be. But for now, because you're a city person, in essence, you're a city person, you have enough koyach to make a move and get out of the midbar and come meet me in the field. Right? Now, I'm not coming to the midbar for two reasons. First of all, I don't go to the midbar, says Hashem. And second of all, I want to remain a little bit detached because I want you to make the move. It's a Rusa de la Tata. You need to start the process. I'm just giving you the background kickstart. Like, I'm here. I'm in the background making it possible for you. So we're in the Midbar, Hashem's in the Sada, we're going to make the move. We're able to get out of the Midbar because in essence we're city people. And that's the depth of the Moshav. Maybe we'll discuss this next point next week, but more. What happens is, the two things are often combined. So we said before, one of the things we said about the problem with Gilui is that Gilui distracts you from the Etzem. Ultimately, however, the ultimate level is to combine both. And that's Le'ila. Le'ila is when we connect, once we reconnect again with the essence of Hashem. That's Le'ila. Le'ila is the highest revelation ever. And we are in the room with the essence of Hashem. So in Le'ila, what happens is, it goes back to what Elul is, but in a completely different way. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, we go into the world of Gilui. We work on our Gilui, we work on our heart and our mind. That's Gilui, right? Like the minister. Ne'ilah, we get locked into the king, locked in the room with the king himself. We connect once again the essence of a Yid with the essence of Hashem. But this time, the essence is fully revealed and you're not distracted by the Gilui. The essence becomes revealed. That's like the ultimate level. The combination of both. And that's Ne'ilah. Then on Sukkot, we reveal that all into the world. Up until in the Ilah, it's very spiritual and very in a spiritual world. In Sukkot, we reveal the whole thing into the world. All right.